All right. This is called The Ways of Evangelism, Part 1. Key verse is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The purpose of this lesson is to show from the scriptures some of the ways to live out Christ's command to be a witness. Witnessing or winning souls is essential to our lives as Christians. Although the term witnessing conjures up all kinds of frightful thoughts in many people, it is actually something quite simple and applicable to all of us. To witness to someone simply means to tell what you have seen and heard. It's similar to being a witness in courts. You do not have to prove anything, nor do you render the verdict. You simply take the stand and relate what you have seen and heard. Christ calls his disciples to be faithful witnesses of what they have seen and heard of him. As 1 John 1:3 says, so eloquently expresses, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you. That is the only qualifier for a witness, to possess first-hand experience of something or someone. Then he relates or witnesses of what he has seen and heard. So, first thing, Christians are called to be witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Jesus' last words issued the call to witness. The last recorded words of Christ before he ascended to heaven were that we would receive power from the Holy Ghost to become witnesses for him. Jesus' declaration that we would be witnesses contains our marching orders until his return. This is our purpose, and this is our calling. Jesus instructed the Gadarene demoniac to witness, Mark 5, verses 1 through 20. When Jesus delivered the Gadarene demoniac from the legion of demons, the man wanted to stay with Jesus. Jesus, however, would not allow this, but rather told him, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So I think that's a pretty cool picture, how he was delivered, and then God sent him out to be a witness for him, for his glory. Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men, Matthew 4:19. Early in his ministry, Jesus told his disciples that if they followed him, he would make them into fishers of men. His purpose for them and his call to them was clear. In saying this, Jesus revealed that the ultimate catch was to win a soul for him. This is what is accomplished through witnessing. The Bible gives many examples of faithful witnesses. The woman at the well in John 4 is an example of a witness. The woman at the well experienced Jesus. She saw him, touched him, and received a word of knowledge from him. The impact of what she saw and heard caused her to go and tell the people of her city what she had seen and heard. She was a witness. The Bible says, she left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. You know, and we're talking about other people here, but I'm referring to Jesus himself. 1 John says we know we're in Christ when we live and walk as he walked. There's been times where, you know, we just go through our regular lives, our daily routine, and to be honest with you, if we're honest, we don't see God move as much as we think he should, but it's not him holding back. Maybe it's us. You know, when I pray to go into work each day, Lord, I pray for a miracle today. I pray you do something to me. Bring a word to somebody today. And spiritually, God has me looking around for an open door to do that. And that's where we need to be. As Christians, every day on the job, you know, we need to be looking for them opportunities to be a witness for Christ. You know, Peter and John were faithful witnesses to the resurrection. Despite great opposition, Peter and John steadfastly proclaimed the gospel. Nothing could deter them from speaking about what they knew to be true. Acts 4:1-20. Acts 4:1-20.
The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of the men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.
Verse.
Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered him to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer about anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As far as us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.
I think that's awesome. I mean, they were just, you know, by that example, you see them stepping out, be witnesses for Christ. And despite the hardship that came along the way, you know, God is still able to be glorified through that and bring people to Christ, you know. So I think that's pretty cool. That really helps put things into perspective as maybe when we check our own heart. You know, Lord, am I too afraid? Am I too fearful of consequences of truly being a real witness for you? Am I too afraid of certain things happening? I mean, reveal it to me, God, if that's the case. And I pray, I repent of it. So the Apostle John was also a witness. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. All that John proclaimed was from personal experience. He had seen Jesus and touched him. Now he was testifying of him. He was a witness to the risen Christ, and no one could ever take that from him. From the Bible, you can learn the ways of a witness. A witness brings his family to Christ. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus, John chapter 1:40-42. When something good happens to you, you immediately want to share the news with those closest to you. How much more should you desire to share Christ with them? Second thing, witness brings friends to Christ, John chapter 1:45. Philip immediately told his friend Nathanael about Jesus. The Bible says he found Nathanael, thus indicating that he actively looked for him in order to share Jesus with him. You probably have a number of friends that do not know the Lord. Are you looking for opportunities to share Christ with them, or have you neglected the wonderful privilege of telling them what you know to be true? You want to read this next part right here?
Sure. A witness gives testimony of Christ, Acts 26. Paul stood before King Agrippa and boldly testified of his faith in Christ. He was not intimidated by the king's position. He did not compromise his message, nor would he back down from it when he was challenged. He was a faithful witness. This had been Paul's pattern since his conversion. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all of the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance.
Okay.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead and read the next one.
A witness is always ready to give an answer for the hope within him. 1 Peter 3:15. As a witness of Christ, you are on call 24/7 to share the gospel. You must be ready at all times, always prepared to testify of Christ. You must have a clear understanding of your hope in Christ and be able to clearly present this to others. Sometimes it is helpful to think through in advance what you would say if someone asked you to explain why you are a believer in Christ.
Okay. Is God speaking to you at all through this? Maybe anything? Maybe a confirmation on anything?
Well, for me, it just confirms that I'm in the right place of where I'm supposed to be, because never in my life before I was moved out here to Lake Charles and, you know, at the Canes out here in Lake Charles, have I ever been able to witness to people? Have I ever been able to actually share, you know, my own personal witness, but also be able to, you know, be able to tell them about the
love of God and things like that. And those things have never happened to me before. So just being able to look at a lot of these things and, you know, again, being able to witness and give a testimony, you know, always be ready, you know, because a lot of times people walk in, like one of the girls the other day walks in, she's just bawling crying, you know, because she's having some relational issues, you know, and just being able to pull her in the office and say, hey, look, you know, I'm here for you, whatever it is that you need, you know, I can try to, you know, give you advice, whatever it is that, you know, that, again, the Lord kind of leads on, you know, lays on my heart for her, you know, but never before have I been able to do these things. So for sure, it's, you know, again, eye-opening for me that I am in the right place of where I'm supposed to be for this season, for sure.
Yeah, that's good, man. I do know, you know, the Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge, or you can actually use that same principle, that scripture, my people perish because of maybe a lack of vision, you know. I think it's very important to keep that door open for God, I mean, at all times, for Him to use you wherever you're at. It keeps that alive in your life. When we just shut that door and we just don't really allow God access to our mouth and to our, just our, this vessel, you know, we really shut down the flow of God in our lives, our growth. We shut down a lot of things that is necessary to abide in Christ, to stay in Christ. We have always got to keep that motive forefront in our heart and everything. And it really, I mean, if we do that on a daily basis, just think 5 years down the road, all the things that maybe God has done through us, even just a simple little sentence of encouragement here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen just simple little things in my walk in Christ that have really blessed somebody, whether they came and told me or not. Well, like just a simple little reaction or response I had in a weird situation, a bad situation, that people noticed something in me, the Christ in me, and that, and then they started coming to church a week later. I believe that's what it is. But, you know, because they weren't coming to church for that moment. And, you know, it's just little things like that. But if we keep God at the forefront, you know, God does amazing things through us, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
Like things we don't even see. You know, things maybe we're not even consciously aware of that is taking place. God's working. So.
Well, it's even specifically when people see how you react and how you deal with circumstances, you know, because even some difficult customers come through and difficult people, and it's, you know, when you are able to rise above that and able to, you know, to deal with them, you know, and no matter what the situation is, because people, like, after they leave, like, how'd you deal with that, like, you know, and then you just let them know, like, you know, these things, life's too short to get bogged down by these little things. But just really just kind of going back to, you know, some of those things of just how you react and how you personally portray yourself, and because then some people look at that like, you know, I can't do that. How's he able to do it? You know,
that's right.
But one of the revelations that came to me not too long ago is really just a very basic teaching where, you know, where we say, you know, we are your hands and your feet, and, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, and it's, you know, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and, you know, your ways are higher than my ways. And, you know, the revelation that really came to me was that, you know, if we truly believe that, you know, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives within me. And the words, you know, my words are your words. Like, literally, you know, again, I only say what I hear the Father say. And we can and should, if we are going to allow Him to have complete control of our lives. Literally, whatever we say should be coming from the Holy Spirit anyway. Because it is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives within me. So whatever He wants to say, we should allow Him to say.
That's right.
And whatever He wants to do, we should allow Him to do it. You know, but that's where our flesh rises up and says, let's come back to that, or let's pause that, or let's, you know, or that, you know, again, and we give into that stuff too easily, you know, because again, kind of like what Pastor said the other day, or you or somebody in over here, but whenever you say yes and you just make that first step, then the anointing comes, like the Holy Spirit just takes over and He does what it is that He's supposed to do. But for us, we just have to get past the fear and take the step. And then really that's when He meets us, and it's no longer us who does it, but it's Christ that lives within us.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's, you know, just stepping out, taking that first step, it's, you know, we might get confused thinking that it's us that's going to make this happen, or, you know, this person's going to, their life is going to, they're going to be healed because of me. No, it's not. I mean, you just have to be a willing vessel. Take that step and allow God through you to do that work. He does it. You know, so we just have to be a willing vessel.
Yeah, it's a very basic scripture, a basic teaching, but, you know, ultimately, whenever I finally got a hold of that, and it's like, you know, That's where the revelation part comes through.
A witness is involved in the work of the harvest, Matthew 9:37. Untold millions do not know Christ. Many are open and would respond to the gospel if someone shared it with them. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You are called to be a laborer in the harvest fields of the world. It is not a responsibility that you can shirk. There is no one else to do it, only those who have already witnessed the reality of Christ. You know, God's called us into all the world to make disciples of all nations. Well, we can't neglect. This country, you know, needs God. I mean, it has slipped morally, big time. Like, it's just, it's in darkness. It's in, you know, this is our first mission field. You know, our family is actually our first mission field, but we need to keep our heart open for God to use us in this country as well, for sure. Have you ever been on a missions trip before? They got that.
I do want to go.
It's really a life-changing experience in the sense that you really come back and perceive things a lot differently. Like, we went to Mexico about 7-8 years ago to build two churches there in Nueva Padilla. And we went up a mountain in a city called Victoria to go build this church. And the pastor there, well, he was going to be the pastor of the church we're building. Well, he was the pastor. They just had, they had church underneath a tree. And he actually sold his only vehicle to purchase the land to build a church on it so that he could minister to the people on that mountainside. Literally, these people lived in just rotten old wood, plywood, just like with blankets, kind of houses, just blankets, kind of, they get whatever they could to make a frame for a house. Stones, broken cinder blocks here and there, blankets, old pieces of wood or plywood, and they would form a house out of it, and literally you could see inside, and it was just rocky dirt inside where they would lay on. Well, I mean, they had somewhat things that made a mattress, but you just, you know, and the whole time we were building that church there, we went there to bless them. And these Christian, these Mexican Christians, despite the lack of provision they had, they blessed us double than what we did for them.
Right.
They were feeding us food every day. They were cooking for us like big meals. I'm like, I just can't believe. And they were playing. They were just their hearts. You could just sense their pure heart, their kindness, the Christ in their hearts. And I was like, golly, I just can't believe. You know, it really put things into perspective of just like, as an American, how blessed we are. And I see these people with so much lack. And I saw their heart towards me. And I was like, golly, God, I need you to do a mighty work in my life, you know, because these people are amazing. I didn't want to leave. They just blessed me that much. My perception totally changed after that point. So a witness speaks from personal experience, John chapter 4. As stated earlier, the woman at the well marveled that Jesus knew all about her, and she couldn't wait to share her experience with others. You don't have to speak of what others have experienced. You only have to speak of what you have experienced. That makes you uniquely qualified to share the gospel. A witness preaches the word, 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. Never be afraid to preach the word of God. Hide it in your heart and be ready to bring it forth at any time. Peter in Acts 2 and Stephen in Acts 7, who was martyred for testifying, witnessing before us, boldly proclaimed the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what witnesses do, and that's what you can do. So in summary, Jesus' last words are a powerful clue to his top priority. You shall be witnesses. He has called us to be witnesses for him until he returns. As witnesses, we tell others what we know about Jesus and what our experience has been. We don't have to prove the gospel, and we don't have to have all the answers. All we really need is the courage and commitment to proclaim what Christ has done for us. And I want to emphasize right here, says, as witnesses, we tell others what we know about Jesus and what our experience has been. In order for that experience to happen, for us to have a testimony to tell people, we've got to keep this vessel ourselves open for God to work through. And when we allow that, we experience things that God has done through us and things we've seen and can testify to. But if we don't do that, you know, then we have really nothing to testify about. Maybe somebody, what happened to somebody else. But God wants to do that through us. He wants our own personal relationship with him, you know. I think that's pretty cool.